The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Now, a lot of the sporting stories we're talking about today have jumped really from the back pages to the front pages. For instance, this one, you know, Andy McEntee stepped down from his position as Meath football manager. His daughter, Aisling, tweeted, "I really hope the next manager doesn't have a family with access to social media. I also hope I never raise anyone to be as pathetic as to abuse people from behind a keyboard. Would they put in an ounce of the effort and dedication he did? Doubtful." And Andy's son, Shane, captain of Meath, also posted, "Online abuse, letters to the house. You can put yourself forward for these roles or you can tweet about it. One takes a bit more conviction." Owen Sheehan of Off the Ball, what's going on?
Well, this is interesting. This is something that it feels comes up at the business end of every championship season, aka when teams start to get knocked out of big games and managers start to walk away. I remember the summer of 2018 was particularly pointed when it came to managers speaking of their own experiences of getting online abuse and getting, I guess, actual physical letters sent to their house. Eamon Fitzmaurice, when he retired as Kerry manager, commented upon all the letters he was receiving. Andy McEntee, he was speaking to us on OTBAM this morning, said he was getting letters over the last little while from a couple of people in particular, angry Meath supporters in inverted commas, I guess, voicing their displeasure with how he was managing the team. There's obviously a whole online aspect to it as well. Meath GAA have come out to condemn some of the abuse directed at Andy McEntee, and unfortunately we are in a world now where these managers over these teams, who may not be getting the results that their fans want, are bearing all of the anger from the supporters, be it online or or in written letters.
It's just not acceptable, but you know, in every walk of life, the keyboard warriors are very active. Now, the Paris police chief has had to eat humble pie about the alleged 40,000 fake Champions League tickets that were produced at the Stade de France.
Yes, this is Didier Lallement, who's been speaking at the Senate hearing that's been taking place into the handling of the Champions League final. His early estimate was that there were 30,000 to 40,000 fans without tickets or with fake tickets trying to get into the Champions League final. And he said, "Perhaps I was wrong this week." Whether there were 40,000, 30,000 or 20,000, it didn't change the fact that there were tens of thousands of people who could not fit in. He's shifting the goalposts significantly on it. He then said there were 300 or 400 people who did not seem to be fans. I don't know if they were people from the housing estates around the stadium. And he said, "Is this a type of delinquent population that we meet in Seine-Saint-Denis? Yes, it happens, but we also meet them in the north of Paris." So a fairly spectacular climb down from Mr. Lallement, to say the least. You've also got information coming to light now that Stade de France CCTV footage has already been deleted. So this is apparently after 7 days the images get wiped. You would have thought,
very
though,
convenient.
Very convenient. You would have thought that in the immediate aftermath of the event, people
preserve
would have
the
thought
images,
that this would have been quite important coming down the line. So this story rumbles on, and those people in Liverpool and in Britain at large probably don't want this to go anywhere with the French Senate hearing.
Now, the PGA has acted swiftly against the renegade golfers in the LIV Tour.
Yeah, it was basically within minutes of the first shots being hit that the PGA cards were rescinded for the 17 players in the field who were playing for LIV Golf. You've got a couple of people who have accepted it. Graham McDowell is one of those people who has put his hands up and said, "Listen, I resign just because I'm a little bit concerned of the litigious complications that will come from potentially being in both." Ian Poulter is not laying down. He says, "I will appeal for sure. It makes no sense having two tour cards and the ability to play golf all over the world. What's wrong with that?" And there does seem to be, I don't know, is it this voluntary ignorance around what they are doing and what they're supporting by playing this. What I do find interesting, though, is that there has been, it feels much more of a hullabaloo made about this than there has been about, say, the Formula One or the Saudi backing of Newcastle United. And I do believe that stems from a crisis in power at the top tier of golf, that Jay Monahan and co are quite happy for the sports washing thing to be spoken about on this occasion.
I heard Off the Ball last night and that discussion at the beginning of the show about the style of the LIV Golf, where you have a shotgun start, which means that when you're watching it, you're getting top players on every tee from the get-go. So instead of having maybe, you know, the no-hopers at the beginning of day three and day four when the cut has been made and you really are waiting for the McIlroys and whatever at the top of the leaderboard to come out, with a shotgun start, everyone starts on the sound of the shotgun, off they go.
And it works really well as long as you don't have commercials. And obviously there is an elephant in the room here as to why LIV Golf don't have to show any ads. But maybe for an online subscription service for the PGA Tour or DP World Tour over the next little while, they could follow a similar model because it works. That's the one thing that has worked.
Yeah, nothing wrong with copying a good idea. Now, Stephen Kenny... saying, you know, are we out of our league in the Nations League in our group? I mean, do we belong elsewhere?
Quite possibly. I do think that by the time this whole thing ends up, Ireland might well have finished second bottom of the group and Armenia will have found relegation and Ireland will be in this constant purgatory of League B in the Nations League, constantly losing the majority of their games but still surviving. Tomorrow feels like a significant day. They're playing Scotland, the Republic of Ireland. On paper, it looks like their toughest fixture yet. Armenia and a second-string Ukraine team should have been 6 points in the bag if we were having this conversation a week ago. But a week has been a long time in football, it turns out, because the mood music has turned entirely on Stephen Kenny. Some reports even that there will be a reassessment of his contract at the end of this Nations League campaign. Yeah. It feels like a dramatic U-turn and it feels like a constant identity crisis when it comes to Irish football.
Yeah. We were so hopeful before this campaign began.
The one positive, obviously, is the under-21s. Because of results elsewhere, they're guaranteed a playoff place, a first ever playoff place in the European Under-21 Championship, and they play Italy next week in a decisive game for top spot.
So, on the pitch then, what's happening this weekend?
Yeah, well, I guess one of the big things outside of the football is going to be in the GEA, and it is football in the GEA. You've got the second round of the qualifiers, Kildare against Mayo at 6 o'clock tomorrow in Croke Park. One of the big football game of the weekend. Roscommon Clare is the curtain raiser in that one. And then the other real heavyweight clash in the football is Armagh against Donegal in Clonus on Sunday at 4 o'clock. Cork Limerick is the curtain raiser in that one. And of course, we've got the United Rugby Championship going to the semi-final stage this weekend as well. Stormers against Ulster is taking place tomorrow, but Leinster hoping for some sort of redemption, I guess. They're playing the Bulls tonight at 7:35, hoping to add some sort of silverware to their season after the Champions Cup disappointment.
Owen Sheen of Off the Ball, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.